Let me begin with a question. You know, it's a question for you to think. Can someone live a good life? They may do a lot of good works, right? Help a lot of people and may do a lot of good. Externally, they may live a wonderful, blameless life. They can do a lot of good works. But if they believe wrong things, let's say they believe some false teaching, but their life is great, but they believe something wrong. Do you think this person will go to heaven? Right? It's a very complex question. It's a most a question that we need to think. You know, their life is amazing. They do a lot of good works, but they stick on to some false teaching. Will that take them to hell? Okay, I just leave that question for you to think. And then we'll begin. I think we'll try to answer that question as we move forward. In Revelation 12, there is an amazing picture. Revelation is a recapitulating book. I've preached on that in the Tamil service. It actually talks about the first coming of Christ, the record of first coming of Christ till the second coming. All the things that will happen between these two time periods are all given to us in a symbolic, apocalyptic language. And there is one picture, amazing picture in Revelation 12, where a dragon, a big dragon, it is scary, and that dragon is standing before a woman. And the woman is pregnant and she is about to deliver a child. And you know, this cruel dragon is just waiting earnestly to swallow the child as soon as that woman delivers the child. And that woman gives birth to a son. And as the dragon tries to swallow, the child actually is snatched up to heaven, to the throne of God. And this woman flees to the wilderness. Since the dragon couldn't do anything to the child, you know, there are offspring who are born to women, and the dragon actually vents all its anger against the woman and its offspring. That is nothing but the church, right? And this is actually a picture of what happens in the church history. One of the ways the dragon tries to attack the woman, in Revelation 15, it says, from the mouth of the serpent, he spewed water like a river and it to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent, right? And that's the picture that is given. And it's a beautiful picture, and that's what is happening in church history. One of the greatest attacks of Satan on the church, he spews all kinds of false teaching, all kinds of subtle false teaching. And by that, he tries to, in that torrent, in that flood of false teaching, he tries to destroy, he tries to carry away the church and the believers. And how many people get carried away in that strong current of the river flood, right? I know from our church, you know, we can go through church history, but even our church history, I know people who have been taught for years and years, they fall away to false teaching. Either it's Pentecostalism, and I recently heard a brother, he went to RZIM apologetic ministry, and he started to enroll himself as a full-time guy. And some people fall into, you know, prosperity gospel. And, you know, some people, you know, I know a brother who came and said, you know, most of the times he said, Pastor, after I heard that preaching, my body is shivering, Pastor. And he kind of was actually shivering. I looked at him and I assumed, okay, I think we have a lifetime faithful disciple now. Right? God has touched him and there is a work of revival in his heart. But behold, after a few months, he runs away after heresy of Arminianism and then argues against Calvinism. And some go after Presbyterian Church and then they say child baptism. I believe I've come to a conclusion that child baptism is correct. Why do people go away like this? Why do people go into wrong teaching? And that's the picture. In that picture, you know, when that's what devil tries to do. He kind of spews all kinds of lies, and it's a river of lies, and that current is so strong it can carry away people. And in that picture, the Lord beautifully shows that the woman is protected. When the flood is coming, it may carry away all false believers, but the true church is protected by the Lord. And the Lord kind of opens, symbolically, opens a ground, and all that flood goes in, and then the people are protected. His church is protected. Now, some of us may not go, to that extreme of going and following a false teaching. But nevertheless, I think we may be vulnerable to this flood if we are not. What is the only thing that will stop us from being carried away from all this flood? Right? Have you thought about it? You know, most of us know so much of truth, and we've learned so much. And why do small problems in our life completely upset us? Right? It blows us away. And kind of sometimes it even uproots us and fills us with so much of fear and doubt and troubles, and we kind of feel lost. Why cannot we stand with unshakable steadfastness, stand firm? That's a command, and again and again coming in the Bible, right? Why is that happening? And if with this kind of attitude, how will we survive a river, right? Even, false teaching is one side, and there are other things, troubles of life, cares of this world, and all that. If those are all moving us to and fro, and it's a matter of time when, the big flood will carry us away, right? I think the reason that we kind of are tossing here and there is because we are not grounded in the truth. When we are not grounded in the truth, a small wind is enough to toss us here and there. We become very fickle. And that's the aim of Satan, right? He tries everything to not allow us to be grounded in the truth. And the parable of sower, right? He doesn't allow the word to do its work. But what does the Lord do? In Ephesians 4, the risen Lord, the enthroned Lord, it says that he gives the church the gifts, right? Because he gives them apostles and prophets and evangelists. He puts us in the church. Why does he put us in the church? And then he gives us prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers. Why? The passage goes on and says, so that we may be equipped, that we may grow, and we may be edified, that we may grow in the knowledge of the Son of God and truth. And what should all this do? We should be grounded in the truth, so that we are no longer like children who are tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. And that's what the Lord is trying to do when the Satan is trying to spew all kinds of lies, spew all kinds of false teachings, spew all kinds of trials into our life. If we are grounded, we stand firm against all the wind and flood. And that's the aim of the Lord. And that's why he put us in the church, and that's why he keeps teaching us. And that's how the Lord protects us from the flood, the winds of Satan. And others who are not grounded will get carried away. And one of the means that we get grounded is through the passage that we are going to read today, the verse that we are going to read today. All that I said is because of that. And here in this verse, David makes a choice. Let me read that, verse 30. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. There is a choice, and there is an action in this verse, okay? There is a choice. I have chosen the way of truth, and there is an action. Thy judgments I have laid before. There is an action, right? And let me tell you, if you and I don't do what David has done in this verse, you and I will get carried away. Not today, maybe someday, okay? And I think this is one of the primary means of perseverance. In fact, Revelation talks about the mark of the beast and the mark of God in the forehead and in right hand. And it's not some chip, technology chip, right? We should explain Bible with the Bible. When it says in the forehead and in the right hand, it talks about God's word ruling, reigning our mind in the forehead, and our actions, when God said rules in our mind, our actions will be based on God's word. And when the mark of the beast is what? When the devil and all his lies and all the worldly lies rules our mind, we allow that to put the mark there. Our hands will exactly do that. So let's see, I think that's what comes up in this verse. And there is a mark of God here in the forehead and in the hand. What is that? Okay, there are two things, you know. I have chosen the way of the truth, thy judgments have I laid before me. We saw in the previous verse, David pleaded with God to remove the way of lying and grant me the law graciously. Now as an appeal, as an argument to that prayer, he adds two more things. And he says, Lord, I have chosen the way. Why should you grant me your law? Why should you enlighten me? Why should you write your law in my heart? Because I have chosen the way of the truth. And it's not just a mere choice, but I have demonstrated my sincerity in actions. He's dead serious in praying this. Because God should remove the way of lying and grant him his law, because it's not just a wishful prayer, like most of our prayers, right? And David says, I am dead serious, Lord, because it has resulted not only in choice, but a serious action in life. Okay? So there are two things we will see, a choice and an action. In the language of Revelation, a mark in the forehead and in the mark in the right hand. Okay? So what is the choice? Remove the way of lying from me. Why? Because of this choice, I have chosen the way of the truth. That's the choice, right? He's made a choice. And it didn't just stay with the mere mental choice, but it resulted in practical actions. Thy judgments I have laid before me. Okay? So let's look at the choice. I've chosen the way of thy truth. The way of the truth. I think it's a phrase in the Bible. It's always meant for as a contrast to all other false religion. This is the true religion. 2 Peter 2:2. By whom the way of truth is spoken evil. There are some false teachers because of whom the way of truth. It's talking about Christianity, right? It's talking about true religion. In other places it says, this is the good way wherein we should walk. It is called the way of the Lord, the way of God, because it is God who revealed this way in his scriptures. And it reveals God to us and it leads us to God. It's the way of truth. Psalm 27:11, the way of understanding, because it gives us understanding, makes us wise in the priorities of our life, the great affairs of our life. What should we seek with the limited time that is given in this, right? We should be wise. And it gives us that wisdom, not being carried away, tossed around with wrong priorities and wasting our lifespan. No, it makes us wise. And it's called the way of holiness. The way of righteousness, because it leads to way of holiness, way of righteousness. It directs us in all our duties towards God and towards man. And live a righteous life, right? It's called the way of life because it leads to eternal life. It's called a pleasant and happy way because it gives everlasting happiness. So, what is the way of truth? It's a broad word. It is different. It's used in different ways. I was trying to give you a sense. Every man in this world either chooses the way of lie that is mentioned in the previous verse or the way of truth. No one can be neutral. Oh, I have not made a choice. That means that you are walking in the way of lying, because no one drops accidentally by the way of truth or by chance. They go walk in the way of truth by choice. You choose this way, you continue to choose this way. Otherwise they will wander away. And somebody said religion is not a matter of chance but of choice, right? Those whom God has chosen in eternity, in the due time, they will choose this way, right? The 1 Thessalonians Paul says, I know that you have been elected, chosen by God. Why? Because you have chosen to believe the truth. You've chosen to live by the truth. And that's reflected. And there is a doctrinal way of truth which we should believe if we are to be saved. And there is a practical way of truth which we should follow. Right? And David says, I have chosen the way of truth. I think this is more than sitting and hearing the word of God and, you know, having no objections. You know, you hear whatever you hear and you don't have any questions. And such hearing is not enough. If we are just hearing and accepting, and I think that's what we will do when we hear false teaching also, right? We will hear and agree to everything. We should not just be hearers. David is saying, I've chosen the way of truth. He's not saying, I only hear God's word. He goes beyond that. And he personally, he examines what he heard, like the good Bereans. If it is true, he weighs it, he meditates it, and he personally, look at it, he's saying, not we have chosen, but I have heartily, personally realizing this is the truth, and I accept it, and I choose the way of truth. This is the truth which is confirmed by my conscience. This is the truth which is verified in your word. And this is what he's saying, I've chosen the way of truth. Right? This is like the seed on the good soil. Though this truth sometimes may seem bitter to me, bitter to my flesh, it calls for self-denial, it calls for faith, not sight. And I have counted the cost, I know the difficulties I have to face, I have to kill my sin sometimes, I have to walk by faith sometimes, right? Difficult things. Considering all that, I have chosen to be in the way of truth. And I think it's a beautiful godly practice. Note it is, like again, it's a personal practice. It is not, you know, yeah, we have all, as a Reformed church, we've chosen to walk in the way of truth. No, that's not what he's saying. I have personally done it. Right? I think somebody said, none of us can grow in holiness unless we make the determined choice. That's what we see here. I have chosen the way of the truth. Secondly, okay, that's his choice. Let's look at his action. Thy judgments I have laid before me. There could be many people who say, I've also chosen the way of truth. But their sincerity, they may deceive themselves, right, by that confession. And still not take any sincere steps, right? No man becomes holy by just a careless wish. There must be, he says, thy judgments I have laid before me. Meaning that I'm putting efforts in terms of consistent study and meditation and deliberation and earnest inquiry, and I commit myself to a lifelong pursuit of knowledge of the way of truth. I'm growing in the way of truth. The way of truth, I'm determined judgments. Thy judgments I have laid before me. Right? Many people, like I said, will get carried away in the river if they stay only with the wish. They just confess this, right? Hearing and forgetting. Hearing and forgetting. You hear on a Sunday, you start your Monday, and you put all the God's judgments where? Not before me. Like David says, I put it before me. They put it behind them. Right? Oh, I've heard it. Nice sermon. Over. It's all over. And as years pass, and if truth is not meditated, if truth is not assimilated, if truth is not practiced, it will create a dangerous familiarity, and it will create an heart hardening effect. After some time, it will get little boring. You've already heard it, and you'll find yourself actually departing from the truth. I've seen people, you know, who have maybe 80 years old and 60 years they've been saved, and they're still reading books, they're still eagerly asking questions, they're still growing. What gives them such interest? What are they not getting used to it? No, thy judgments I have laid before me. The commands of God must be set before us as a mark to aim at. Okay, I've read this. And I've put this in front of me, and this is my target. This is my aim and the model that I should work and the road that I should follow. Every time whatever I learn on a Sunday should become a GPS Google map for me Monday to Saturday. That's how David lived. That's how I have put thy judgments before me. And that's how it will take us to heaven. That's how we become grounded in truth. That's what David says. I have chosen the way of truth, and I'm dead serious about that, and dead sincere about that. I'm not just lying. And as a result of that, look at my actions. Thy judgments I have laid before me. Thy judgments, you know, it means the infallible judgments revealed in God's word. According to that judgment, that verdict, every man will receive his destiny, right? Because God's word is his judgment. And he who walks against it will be condemned, right? And he will not prosper. Whatever he may think, you know, his own way, whatever seems right to him, to his own eyes, he can continue to do it. But David is not like that. I've thrown away all my judgments. I've thrown away all my excuses. Lord, I've put your judgments in front of me. Right? And I will, because those judgments are your final verdict. And the execution will surely take place if I disobey that. And that's why I've put this before me. And his desire was to follow this right. Right? Not only in the general way, but not only just professing, but all his actions. You know, he's not, okay, like so many believers who say, I believe the Bible, but he regularly studies it, meditates it, practices it, and then puts it before his mind so that, you know, he kind of, his life reflects what he's learned, and he's kind of a walking Bible. Okay, so that's what David mentions, you know, we see David's choice and David's action, okay? Because there are so many wrong, lying paths in the world. And devil has created so many such lying paths. You and I, the only way we can preserve ourselves, the only way we can make our calling and election sure, is to make a determination like David to choose the way of truth. Otherwise, let me tell you, some other time you will get carried away in the current. When we have chosen the way of the truth, we should make every attempt to regularly, thoroughly learn the way of truth. We should give ourselves to a lifetime pursuit of being grounded in the truth. Walk in the truth, right? And there are two great mistakes people do, which actually takes them to hell. One, they make a wrong choice, right? Or they may make a right choice and they may not follow up with the right actions. Either you make a choice and then you don't live up to those actions. But David says, I have done both. Lord, I have chosen the way of truth. I have laid your judgments before me. What about us? Right? I think that's a practical question. Some of you, you know, we say we are in a Reformed church, but do you believe? Because commonly everybody has to believe, and because only when you believe he will take you into membership, right? Have you been taught only that? Or have you made a personal determined choice? Have you read the scriptures enough so you know for sure personally what I believe is true? Have you read the confession enough so that you know this is true from your own conscious knowledge? And I stand, here I stand, just like Martin Luther said, and I can do no other. This is the infallible truth. This is the certain truth. See, the certainty of truth, being grounded in truth, doesn't come by chance. Doesn't all of a sudden happen one of the day. It comes from choice followed by earnest efforts to understand that knowledge, right? Not because we, you know, do we know the truth? Because do we know whatever we know because we don't know anything else? Right? Or because we know nothing better. This is the best. It's not enough to, you know, blindly stumble upon the truth. But we must make a choice. And there should be a solid conviction that this is the most excellent truth that I believe. You should not only believe the truth, but you should know the reasons why you believe, right? Have you made this choice? And how strong is that choice, right? You can say, yes, I've made that choice. I'm going to be a Reformed believer. But does it reflect in actions? Let me tell you, if not, the flood is coming. One day or the other, it will carry you away. And nothing breaks my heart to see people who know the truth and sometimes taught in the truth for years and then backslide and go in the wrong ways, right? And just to impress this in your consciences, let me give you five reasons why it's so important to make this choice and act according to this choice. Right? I hope you understand. You know this is the truth. You make this choice and you kind of, only when you, see, you know, there are people who, okay, they're still searching for truth, and you know, I think there is a 60-year-old man, he's still searching for truth. I said, when are you going to settle on, be grounded in the truth, right? And that's a sad search. You know, God has given us His truth. We have the truth, and all that we need to be is grounded in that truth. That's what David says, I have chosen the way of the truth, and I'm going to be grounded in that. I've set that before me. Okay, five reasons. One, why should we make this choice? Number one, the exclusivity of the way of truth. The exclusivity of the way of truth. The Lord, without destroying Adam and Eve after the fall, said that He's going to send a seed, and He said the human history will always be marked with an enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. There will always be a way of truth and the way of life. There will always be a Cain worship and an Abel worship. There will always be a man-centered worship and God-centered worship. But there is only one way of truth, and that is very, very absolutely exclusive. There is no room for deviation. There is no room for any lies in this. Moses said, do not add anything to what God has said, right? Moses said, I have set the way of life and the way of death before you. You want to serve Jehovah or you want to serve Baal, you choose. Paul says, I or even the angel from heaven comes, even I or even an angel comes and preaches another gospel. Let him be cursed. It is very, very, very exclusive. Right? Jesus said, the way to life is narrow. And what should you do? You be loose and relaxed and, you know, you don't make any effort. No, He said, strive to enter. Strive. You put all your strain on that to enter by the narrow gate, right? You can't freely go to the right and left, and you take just half an inch or a quarter inch that will lead you to hell. Strive to enter through the straight gate. You emphasize one truth over another, you can easily go wrong, right? So remember the exclusivity of the truth. And that's why we should make a choice, I'm going to go in the way of the truth, right? And then act according to that. Then second reason why we should make this choice, the subtlety of false teaching. God in the providence has allowed the way of lying to multiply, to spread the earth, and in fact to be fruitful also in a way. There are endless ways of lying, of seeking God, in the name of seeking God, and so deeply subtle. And all of them claim as the way of truth, right? Some cases it is so subtle to find an error, even the most learned fall into that error, right? All this starts with a small difference of opinion in the church about the truths revealed in the scripture. That's where it will start. And it's not easy to find the way of truth, right? Proverbs says that there is a way that seems right, but it ends in destruction. It may seem right to me, but it will lead to destruction, right? Because it's so subtle. And there are millions of ways of false teaching. Jesus said, broad is the way. And there are many who will walk in it, and that leads to destruction. Narrow is the way that leads to life. And how many will find it? Only few will find it. Imagine finding itself is so difficult. And how many, he left it unsaid. How many will walk in it? Just finding itself is few. Why? Because the Lord says, devil will send so many, he will spew the river and he will fill the world with false prophets, and they will confuse and completely blind the way. They will preach wrong ways, like Pilgrim's Progress, right? And he showed him, go this way, that way. They will varnish the way of lying in attractive colors. So men cannot find the way of truth. And we see so many false teachings. And we don't know what else will come. Even there will many things that will come, and it will may carry some of you. and it will come in exactly a suited to your, you know, inclinations, right? It may seem right, it may seem justifiable. Sometimes the most good men, right, you know, who may be partly enlightened, and they may lead us into wrong ways, right? And I knowingly will not do it, but even I can sometimes lead you into wrong ways. So it is so important for you to personally study and know the truth and ask me the right questions. And it's not, just rely on it, right? Just the pastor will do all the work and you just have to listen and trust him completely. No, no, you have to make a choice to choose the right way and set the judgments of God before you. Third reason why we should be so careful is the depravity of our hearts. The fallen condition, the disease of our heart with full depravity. The way a man chooses a way reveals the strength of his disease, right? He may walk, you know, there are people, you know, unborn people. The only reason you and I come to God is because God has changed our nature. Sometimes our depravity can overtake us, right? Sometimes all these people, they will reveal the depravity by the kind of ways they choose, right? So false and so it's filled with all kinds of false teaching. Why do you go there? Because it's an expression of their depravity. You know, he may walk in the way of right for some time, but he finds a way, somebody walk in the way, the right ways, but he finds a way that will give vent to his lust, that will give vent to his passions, long suppressed passions. Maybe it is a fuel for his fleshly inclination, it will pacify his conscience. And then he finds that way and he will go headlong into it. He likes it. Not because it's the way of truth, but it is so appealing, it's nice. And every man, according to the diversity of his depravity, he chooses a particular false way, right? And that sin in him is attracted to false way. Isn't that the reason millions and millions of people are unconsciously walking in the way of lying? And not even know that, right? They love false teaching because there is no self-denial, there is no sin preaching, and it kind of gives a license to sin silently. All these false ways aim to take us away from the way of truth. And that's why we should make this determination. The subtlety of the false teaching and the depravity and the inclination of our own hearts to get carried away with that kind of teaching without a serious fixed choice like David. And actions that show our serious efforts, and we spend time to ground ourselves in the truth by reading books and committing ourselves to studies like 1689, and we are thoroughly grounded and know this is the truth. Let me tell you, you will always be floating here and there. It's like a prophecy for you. You'll always be floating here and never be able to stand fast. And you may get carried away sometimes, you know, sometimes the Israelites were carried away by false teaching according to the trade they liked. Maybe some teaching will come you according to your taste, according to how it can be beneficial to you, according to your lust, and according to the friends that you join, according to the groups that you associate. And devil knows your lust. He knows that you are not grounded in the truth like the 1689 and strong faith, right? And you're like still children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine, and he will take you very easily and make you the false. And you know, he has a subtle way of making you see that in the Bible, right? He has a subtle way to make that see you. Ah, I see that in the Bible, and this is correct. This is according to the Bible. And he has a way to sow the poisonous seeds of false ideas into your mind and influence your mind. And it will be according to your situation in life and self-interest. And if you are a covetous person, you know, attracted, you know, and poor, and you need money, false teaching, prosperity teaching will get very attractive, appealing. If you are sick and not well, miracle healers, right? You want worldly benefits and, you know, many, many ways, right? You know, devil has a marvelous way to make you see that in the Bible. And now I can go on why we should be, you know, I have some records in church history. Let me just finish this. Okay, it shows that Revelation 12 actually shows that, you know, how many ways, think about it, right? There were many, many ways, you know. There were initially within Judaism, there was so much divisions, Pharisees and Sadducees. And after church came, the followers of apostles, they established the church and their church fathers, right? Oh, constantly they were attacked with Arianism, Montanism, Doceticism, Gnosticism, and the terrible demonic teaching of Pelagianism, which robs the God all the glory. And all this attack, a constant attack, pushed the church to 1,000 years of darkness, right? Ruled by Roman Catholic Church, and the Bible was hidden. And then the Reformation came and came, brought back the truth. What happened? God's doctrine of sovereignty and the glory of the old apostles' teaching of God, gospel of grace, started spreading. And it started shining. Bible was getting translated in different languages, and the truth was gloriously spreading in 18th century. Right? 17th and 18th century, amazing time, gospel started spreading. There were missions being sent and Bible was translated in every language. What happened? 2 to 5th century, all the isms pushed us into the dark ages for 1,000 years. And 19th to 20th century, all these Wesleyan, Armenian theology of second blessing, this William Seymour, Azusa Street of higher life, holiness movement, all led to the mammoth movement of Pentecostalism today, which completely hides the Bible, which completely hides the Bible with experiences, with all unbiblical experiences, and blinds people, right? And devil is very strong and he continues to do that. So with all this thing, it is so very important that you and I be grounded in the truth and make the choice that David made. I have chosen the way of the truth and I'm going to give myself for the pursuit of being grounded in the truth. I've set your judgments before me, Lord, so that I'm not tossed to and fro. I can, when all these rivers of false teaching coming tomorrow, I don't know what will come. I want to be grounded in your truth. I have chosen the way of the truth. May God help us to pray that prayer. Let's pray.